today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, travel demand is slowing down a bit for next summer for a reason you may not have considered. And we fill you in on a little-known Mexican law about the number of electronic gadgets you can bring into their country.
When buying an airline ticket, you have a decision to make. Do you pay more for extra space, for an aisle seat, boarding early, or just take your chances? In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20, Mark explains why a roll of the dice can sometimes work out okay.
Who out there in the audience likes to cruise? So who decides if a cruise ship is clean? The Center for Disease Control is the answer. At 11:35, we'll tell you which cruise ships made the dirtiest list, and you'll be surprised at some of the names.
Our odds and ends bucket at 11:50 include an editorial by Rick Steves and a look at how Californians feel about tourism in our state.
Lots of information to make you a smarter traveler. It's absolutely what you should expect because you're tuned to the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Hello there, my friends. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with us here on a Saturday morning. Don't forget now, you can find Travel Guys podcasts always at TravelGuysRadio.com. You can also get them at KFBK.com and on the iHeartRadio app. Welcome, Mark. I know you're a little ways away there. You're coming to us from Detroit today.
Detroit, Michigan. Yes, sir. It is a ways from home. I've only been to Detroit once before, which ironically was kind of at a sad time for Detroit. This was Rosa Parks' city, and when I was here, it's been about, probably close to 20 years ago. It was right after Ms. Parks had passed, and she was lying in state here. And I think you've heard me tell this story before, but one of the most memorable evenings of my entire life was when Clayton and I went out to stand in line and to pay our respects. And just the line was about an hour and a half long, and I will tell you it was one of the best evenings of my entire life. It was the most eye-opening, educational, fun, just standing in that line. Waiting to pay our respects to a really great lady. And I haven't been in Detroit since. And I just want to tell you something. This city has a reputation, I think, Tom, you would probably agree, among most people as just being, kind of a dirty city. It's cold and it snows and, why would you want to come here? And I want to just tell you, I haven't been here for two decades. This city has undergone a remarkable transformation. This is no exaggeration, Tom. The streets of the city are so clean, you feel like you could eat off the sidewalk.
Well,
there are not homeless people hanging around. Now, they're kind of in late fall. You know, the nighttime temperatures here are just starting to get around freezing because we're up a ways north, and so it's getting colder at night now. We're getting into mid-October. But the city is just in remarkable shape. If you saw it before and you see it now, you're like, am I actually in Detroit, or did the plane fly me someplace else? I've been in Chicago three times this summer, and I don't ever hear people really talking about Chicago as being that bad of a place, but I have to tell you, Detroit is 200% cleaner than its neighbor across the Great Lakes, and it's this is a city. If you have, we had dinner this evening at the Edsel Ford House, which is a little bit outside of town. It's a house museum. Of course, there are lots of things named Ford here around Detroit, and lots of automobile production influence from over the years. So there are a lot of world class museums here. This is really a very, very interesting state, not to mention the fact that both of the presidential candidates visited here yesterday. So Detroit is something, if you've never been here before, you're the kind of person that likes to go to places you haven't been, put this one on your list. It's in a lot better shape than it was 10 or 15 years ago.
All right. Thanks for the update. By the way, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we take time out to bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition of the Travel News, once again, the What you got for us, Mr. Mark Kaufman?
Well, the first item I have here has to do with Marriott and Starwood. Remember Starwood, Tom?
Oh, well, yeah, I was a Starwood guy. I still have links to my old Starwood account. And whenever I get ready to check in on my points, I always think of Starwood first.
Starwood was basically, for those of you who are trying to scratch your brain out there right now, Starwood was basically Sheraton.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a number of Sheraton Four Points, a number of affiliated brands. Marriott bought Sheraton and merged them all into one. Well, this is kind of a lesson in business, because when Marriott bought Starwood, they either didn't pay attention or didn't really care, but for whatever reason, Starwood's technology department had some holes in it, and it led to some data security failures, three breaches between 2014 and 2020, and a lot of people lost a lot of information because of that. And so Marriott was sued by the Federal Trade Commission because they didn't pay attention to people's records and stuff like that. They weren't real truthful with people as to what had happened. Bottom line, Marriott has agreed to pay a $52 million settlement as part of this case for when they took over Starwood. And unbeknownst to them, Starwood didn't have the same security system as Marriott had. So it's all behind us now, but just goes to show you that even the big, you would have thought, wouldn't you, Tom, that if you were buying a company for billions of dollars, that you maybe would have done your homework to make sure their security was up to snuff?
You would think. Well, we've seen that before.
Yeah, you would think. Here's probably the biggest travel story of the week, probably deserving of a headline. Uber has apparently entered into discussions to buy Expedia. This is kind of interesting. Uber's stock soared last year. We've talked about perhaps some of the reasons for that they've kind of turned around what they pay drivers and how they pay them and the like in order to become profitable a little more quickly. Anyway, Uber has a market cap of around $168 billion. Expedia has a market cap of about $20 billion. So Uber at this point is worth about eight times as much as Expedia, which has faced some pretty tough competition from Booking.com and Airbnb and Google. And, airlines now are offering to sell you hotel rooms. When you're buying an airline ticket, you can, you know, almost everybody's trying to get in on the take there. So Uber and Expedia sounds kind of interesting. Anyway, talks are in the early stages. One of the reasons this is probably happening, Uber CEO served as a CEO of Expedia from 2005 to 2017. So there's your connection. We'll keep you updated on what might happen in the meantime. Our friends over at the blog One Mile at a Time tell us that American Airlines apparently is creating within their system a way to start enforcing their boarding priority. Lots of people cheat when they board airplanes because, you know, like United, American, Delta, it's group one, group two, group three, and some of the group six people just get in there and they go right up. Well, listen, when you put your boarding pass down, face down on the machine and it beeps for you, nobody's looking at what number group you're in. And even if it's face up, it's only there for a fleeting second, and the gate agent probably isn't paying a lot of attention. What's happening is a lot, I probably shouldn't mention this on the radio, it'll just encourage people to do it, but what's happening is a lot of people are cheating up.
Oh, boy.
And this is a problem because a lot of people take credit cards and, you know, buy a more expensive ticket and do other things, jump through hoops in order to get on the plane a little earlier, have enough room for their stuff and all that stuff. So American Airlines has had enough of it. They have a plan to stop boarding cheaters. They are rewriting their software system so that if you put down a boarding pass and you are in a group that hasn't boarded yet, it will give a different sort of beep, and the gate agent will be alerted to the fact that you're boarding in a group that you're not supposed to be in and will ask you to step aside, and you'll have to wait until your group boards.
And so, you'll be seriously embarrassed when instead of it going beep, it's going cheater, 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 cheater.
Yeah, or maybe it would just say, you're in group seven. What are you doing here now?
Exactly.
type of a thing. So anyways, that was kind of a fun little item I thought there. Here's something else interesting. Mexican customs regulations. I didn't know this until someone brought this to my attention last week. I looked it up, and sure enough, they're correct. Mexican custom regulations will only allow one portable computer per foreign arrival. That includes laptops and tablets. Travelers who bring more than one device face taxes of up to 19% of the deemed value of up to $4,000 of the device. That could be up to $780.
Wow.
On a $4,000 device, $790 maybe. Here's the deal. I had no idea about this, but it is true. Google it if you like. I'm sitting here looking at the customs regulation. You can only take one portable computer per arriving passenger. This includes laptops and tablets. It does not include cell phones. So if you're going into Mexico and you're one person and you've got two computers, if they catch you, you're going to pay a fine that based on what they think your machine is worth. In order to be able to bring it into the country. So you'll still be able to get in. There'll just be a fine involved. So heads up, if there's two of you, why then obviously you can take two units. If there's four people in your party, why then you can take four, but only one per person. Everybody out there got that?
Got it. Got it.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it. Got it. Thank you very much. I just wanted to alert. When I saw that, I thought, you know, that could really nail somebody when they're trying to get into another country. Okay, one more item here on the travel news. Reasons that people might not travel as much next summer. I hadn't thought about this at all. The last 2 years, Tom, people have been willing, you know, post-COVID, a lot of folks have been kind of willing to pay up for vacations. Inflation has hit all across the economy. It's hit travel as much as anything, partially because of increased wages and increased labor costs. So a lot of people have paid a lot more for vacations in the last couple of years than perhaps they had planned for or budgeted for or realistically should have paid for. Credit card debt has gone up dramatically. Travel credit card debt has also gone up dramatically. Here is what the winter travel survey from WalletHub says, that people are carrying so much debt from vacations the last couple of years that they're already seeing, and the reason people are saying they're trading down for 2025 is because they've got credit card bills to pay. They've got to pay off the last 2 years' vacations, so they might not go as far or spend as much money next year. Boy, could this possibly be good news for people who are going far and spending money next year.
Right.
Okay, a couple of very quick items here before we close up this segment. Atlanta has been picked to host the 2028 Super Bowl. It will be their fourth time that the city has hosted the Super Bowl. Expedia Travel has a new trend. They're focusing on shopping, what they call detours. So expect if you go on Expedia and you're buying hotel or airline ticket or stuff, you're going to be presented with opportunities with shopping advertisements, perhaps some discounts and things like that. Expedia is trying to obviously make more money, but one of the things they're doing is alerting you to some other opportunities to spend money in your destination city. And that's your travel news for today.
And there you go. And we are the Travel Guys. Again, check us out at travelguysradio.com. Well, it's almost lunchtime, but I'm asking you, got any plans for dinner? Well, our friends at Rudy's Hideaway has a new special this month. It's prime rib and prawns. How about that for $32.95? A super generous cut of their famous slow-roasted, herb-crusted prime rib paired with golden fried prawns, and they're enormous. Baked potato and warm sourdough French bread, $32.95. Available every night for dinner and lunch, Tuesday through Friday, so I guess you could, this is Saturday, so forget it. It's also time to start thinking about your holiday parties, by the way. Rudy's Hideaway can help you plan your banquet of groups of 8 to 80 for your banquet room. You know, Steve said you need to chime in more on these commercials, and I think that laugh was good enough.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, let me ask you again, what days is Rudy's open for lunch?
Tuesday.
Just to clarify.
Tuesday through Friday.
Okay, and this being Saturday, it wouldn't be open today, right?
No. You can go on in there and get that $32.95 prime rib and prawns. I got to give that a shot next time I'm there, I guarantee it. Anyway, Rudy's Hideaway, available all month, the special I just mentioned, and we'll see you there. It's just off Highway 50 in Hazel in Rancho Cordova. Good people, good food, good times. Okay, we are the Travel Guys. We do the Smarter Traveler segment next. Stick around for it. You're going to love it. It is the Travel and Entertainment Guys on radio. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's our Smarter Traveler segment, even though I dispute everything we do is Smarter Traveler segment. Come on, Mark. All right.
Aww.
Yeah. So anyway, this I don't even know how to present this in regards to what we're going to talk about, Mark. So why don't you just jump in and let's get it going.
All right. I'm looking out my hotel room window here in Detroit, and it's going to be a nice day here today. They've got a marathon planned for downtown. I have no damn idea how we're going to get out of here and get to the airport in a little bit. Anyways, we're going to talk a little bit about buying airline tickets and about paying for upgraded seats on board the plane. Of course, you can buy a seat and upgrade to you can buy a first class seat and pay a lot of money. Not as much money as you probably used to pay because first class seats have gotten more reasonably priced. Or you can buy an economy plus, a comfort plus, whatever your airline refers to it. Those seats that are behind first class that have a little extra more leg room on them. There's still three seats across, but they've got in most planes, but they've got more leg room. Or you can go back to the middle of the plane and buy what the airline likes to call preferred seating, which is windows and aisles that cost you not quite as much more as the ones ahead of them, but they also don't have the extra leg room. And then you've got cattle car in the back. So you go online and you're going to buy an airline ticket. And let's say you're going to fly someplace and the round trip fare that you see is $430. So you say, all right, I'm willing to pay $430. I don't want more leg room. I don't want a window or an aisle. I don't really care. I just want to get on the airplane and go. So now you're going to pick a seat from the back of the plane where all of those get on the plane and go seats are. But lo and behold, you log on to the seating chart, and there are no seats available in that section.
Oh, my.
And you're thinking to yourself, oh, no.
I can't
buy my $430 ticket. I'm going to have to pay more money. That would be wrong. If the airline sold you a seat for $430, they have seats on the plane. How do you know this? Well, you're probably looking at the seating chart, and you're seeing all kinds of seats in the Economy Plus and the Preferred Seat section. There just are no seats back in the cheap seats. So you're before you give up, don't give up. Buy the ticket anyway. Because here's what's going to happen. The night before or the morning of your flight, the airline computer is going to go in and say, okay, we've got 24 people who bought cheap tickets and don't have a seat. So we're going to assign them 24 seats we have on the plane. So let's give them those aisle and window preferreds and those leftover economy pluses. And there now everybody has a seat and we're ready to go. And what has happened is a lot of people who didn't know where they were sitting have ended up in something a little better than what they paid for. Maybe it's one of those preferred seats in the middle of the plane, or maybe it's an economy plus. It's not going to be in first class, but it's possible that you could snare something a little better.
Wow, that's how did you and your travel people sat around the bar there and figured this out, didn't you?
Well, not exactly, but it's not hard to figure out if you start realizing that, you know, I'm a tour operator, and most of the people who travel with me, we buy bulk group tickets. We buy the $430 ticket, and maybe we pay $410 for it. So now our people are all going to sit in those seats in the back of the plane. They're all going to be assigned a seat, unless it's Southwest, of course, and they're going to sit in the back part of the plane, unless they come to us and say, you know what? I want to pay $40 more each way and sit in a preferred seat in the middle so I can have an aisle. I got a bad leg and I need an aisle seat. Or they might say, you know, I'm a big tall person or I'm a little bigger and I need that extra room. So I'm going to pay $125 each direction more to get an economy plus seat. You realize the airlines don't make money off the airfares anymore. They make money off the bags you check and the seating preferences that you make. And oh, also you've got their credit card in your pocket. So they really don't give a damn what you do once you get on the plane, because if you buy that extra seat, that's where their revenue comes from. Now, let's pretend there are none of those seats, like we said. So now, beforehand, they assign those seats. And, you know, you might get unlucky. You might still get a middle seat. Or you might get an economy plus and still be in the middle. But I'm going to suggest to you that you're not going to end up any worse. You're going to be on the plane unless they deny boarding. And then you've got some other things going on. And you're going to make a little money off of the thing, probably. So if you get on to the point of all of this ranting and raving is, if you get onto an airline website and you go to buy the cheapest fare and you look at the seating chart and you say, oh, there's no cheap seats available, do not be deceived and automatically buy a more expensive seat. You don't have to.
Well,
you just have to be willing to roll the dice against the wall and wait to see what the airline gives you.
Now, the part that it confuses me a little bit is that the lesser expensive, the cheap seats, as you call them, in the back, it's showing that there are none. And if that's the case, why doesn't the system tell you there are none? We're not going to sell you any of those. You're going to have to pay more and buy a plus.
Excellent question. That's because the airline still wants to advertise that competitive $430 fare. And if they say, well, gee, you know, people are going to have to pay up $40, so then it's a $470 fare. Or if you're going to have to pay $125 to be an economy plus, now it's a $555 fare. Now they're not competitive with the other major carriers, and they're not going to sell any more tickets on that flight. So the airline is more than willing to give up those seats that they would normally get a premium for to make sure the seat is full. Way better for the airline to get $430 out of you than no money at all. So if you get the huge point here is, if you buy a seat and you see no seats available in your fare class, do not feel like that you have to pay more money, because you don't.
Well, there you go. Some words of wisdom from a man who has flown 9 billion miles in his life, Mr. Mark Hoffman. And don't you forget it, folks. Okay, coming up after a short timeout, the CDC has their report card out. Let's find out which cruise ship make the dirty list. That's next here on The Travel Guys. Here we are. It's Mark Hoffman and Sam Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for hanging in there. As we promised, we're going to talk a little bit about cruising, what's going on, what's popular, what's not. And right now we're going to talk about what's dirty and what's not. Mark, what you got?
Well, the Center for Disease Control is the government agency that is responsible for inspecting and assigning an inspection score to the many ships that ply our oceans and that Americans sail on. And they have issued as opposed to a list of the 10 cleanest, they have issued a list of the 10 dirtiest. In fact, we actually have the 11 dirtiest. And I found it to be kind of interesting. It's a wide variety of brands that are on here, including some that are going to be very, very familiar to our listeners, and we'll talk about those in a few minutes. The best score that you can get when you're inspected, when the cruise ship is inspected, is 100. And vessels inspected so far in 2024 have scored an average of 95.7.
Mm-hmm.
So just so you know, a score of 85 or less is considered unacceptable.
Oh, boy.
So the average is 95.7. So what that would tell you is that on the average, by and large, cruise ships are very clean. 95, that's 19 out of 20. So that to me would be something that, basically they're telling the cruise ships, if you can score at least a B, then that's a passing grade. And the CDC has had reported 10 bacterial and viral outbreaks on cruise ships since the start of this year. Most of those have been norovirus, as a floating hotel quickly can move any kind of highly contagious bug through contaminated water, food, surfaces, people, whatever. COVID, of course, was a problem. Norovirus is also known as the stomach flu. So vomiting, diarrhea, nausea, stomach pain, we're all familiar with that kind of thing. That has been, over the years, the most common thing on a cruise ship. It's also the most common thing among travelers, period, whether you're on a cruise ship or not. So again, this doesn't point exactly to cruise ships. The point of our little talk this morning is to help you identify, and we have posted this article, by the way, at travelguysradio.com, so you can look at the entire article, and which comes from Business Insider, and you can see this list for yourself in case you're not quick enough to follow along. Let's go kind of from the bottom up and talk about the worst. This ship got the worst score that any ship has ever gotten in an inspection, which is not something that you want to be particularly proud of. I had not heard of the cruise line. It is Hapag-Lloyd, and I may not be pronouncing that right. It's H-A-P-A-G and L-L-O-Y-D, Cruises. They are a foreign company. They do sail in the United States. One of their ships, the Hanseatic Inspiration, scored a 62 when it was inspected on September the 29th. So that tells you that that ship has some serious issues. However, it is the only ship from that brand that appears in the bottom 10. So that would perhaps indicate that it was just a single ship that had that problem. The Hanseatic Inspiration sails on a variety of cruises around the planet. So that's one that you might want to take, to avoid. Now, there was an 11th vessel on this ship, the Margarita at Sea Paradise, which received a failing score of 83 on May the 1st, but then 2 months later passed with a 92 on July the 2nd. So whatever issues they had, they were able to correct. Anyways, let's talk about the other nine ships here that are quickly that are on this list of the 10 dirtiest ships. Now, remember, this doesn't necessarily mean that they failed the inspection. It means that they had among the lowest scores. That number nine is the Caribbean Princess. Number eight is the Carnival Breeze. Both of these scored 86s when they were inspected. Remember now, they are considered to have passed if they score an 86 or better. So these are ships that 85 or less is unacceptable. These are ships that scored an 86, so they squeaked by. Carnival Breeze. This is one of the Ritz-Carlton Yacht Collection, the Evrima? Hmm. E-V-R-I-M-A. Scored an 86 when inspected in February. One of the MSC cruise ships, the Magnifica, scored an 86. The Carnival Miracle, so that makes two of the Carnival ships that made the bottom 10, scored an 88 when it was inspected last spring. The National Geographic Seabird from Lindblad Expeditions got an 88. Remember now, 86 is passing. Mm-hmm. These are the ships that scored the lowest. Adventure of the Seas from Royal Caribbean. The Carnival Elation scored an 89 when it was inspected in March, so that makes Carnival the infamous holder of three of the top 10 worst scores. All of them are considered passing scores, but I do see a little trend there. And finally, you have the Crystal Serenity from Crystal Cruises, which scored an 89 when it was inspected over the winter last year. So again, there's a lot of numbers and a lot of statistics here, which I'm sure has probably cost us a couple of listeners in this segment so far. But basically what we're talking about here is cleanliness on cruise ships. What are some of the things that they look for? Well, reviewers from the Center for Disease Control look into common spaces such as kitchens, hot tubs, children's activity centers. Obvious issues such as vermin or improperly stored foods will cost them points. So will less apparent issues such as buffet hand washing stations that are not properly stocked. If the swimming pools traps for hair and lint have not been cleaned and disinfected frequently enough. To some people, these would sound like very minor things, but you're on a cruise ship with 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 or 5,000 other people. yeah, it's a big deal.
It is.
It's a big deal. So they're looking for things where germs hide on board the ship. So if you are somebody who really is a germaphobe, then this, you want to look at this list that the Center for Disease Control puts out, because it will tell you who is failing or coming the closest to failing.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We're talking about the CDC and their look at the cleanliness of what goes on in cruise ships. Well, with all that being said, Mark, can we give our, are we in a position to give our listeners any advice in regards to trying to determine? We got the list. We posted there on TravelGuysRadio.com. You're getting ready to cruise, and maybe your ship is on this list. What should a future cruiser do? Contact the ship, find out whether it was one of the ones that had been inspected. What advice can we give folks?
You can go to the Center for Disease Control website. First of all, you can take a look at this. If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, you will find this article, and you will find several links there to scores of to health scores of cruise ships. But if you just go online and enter health scores for cruise ships, you will get all kinds of interesting information. So if you are shopping for cruises, this is something that you should look at. USA Today has an article online that was posted just a couple of days ago that also tells you who some of the best ships were for sanitation scores. So that will give you an opportunity. It's great if your ship is on the best list. If your ship is on the worst list, that's not a good thing. But if it's not on either list at all, then it means that it has a passing score. So how much passing might be something that you can go down the rabbit hole and find. There are also four ships that scored a 100 out of 100 this year. We mentioned Carnival has three ships on the not-so-good list. Carnival also has one of the ships on the 100 list. So the Carnival Spirit scored a 100 in September. Celebrity Cruises Ascent and Equinox scored 100 over the winter. And Disney Cruise Lines, Disney Fantasy, also scored a 100. So it's very possible to get a perfect score. Look, here's another half a dozen ships. Norwegian Cruise Lines has six ships on there. One Holland America, a couple of MSC cruises. So you can go online and find out for yourself whether or not your cruise ship is in the top or the bottom. And if it's in the bottom, then it's legitimate to go back to the cruise line and say, hey, why is this? Or has the cruise ship been reinspected since this inspection score came out, and did they do better?
You know, there's a lot that goes on a cruise ship, even though I have not cruised. I am prone to motion sickness. I am going to cruise. I just know it. I can feel it in my bones. But there are so many things to take care of, you've got dining, you've got sanitation for the rooms, all the things that you mentioned. That's a lot of things to keep an eye on and to make sure that they are up to snuff. And that takes a cruise line and more importantly, a staff and so forth that get the job done. Good information.
I think it's Tom, it's really a culture and an attitude. I remember the first cruise ship that I went on many decades ago was a Holland America cruise ship up to Alaska. And I was impressed by the fact that there appeared to be people whose only job it was to go around and wipe down the handrails and all of the public surfaces. And they were constantly moving around the ship. And I don't know in reality how much disease or contamination they prevented, but I do know that seeing them all the time and seeing them constantly wiping down things and stuff gave me a feeling of comfort that somebody knew that a lot of people touch these same surfaces every day and was aware of that and was doing what they could to try to mitigate any negativity that might come from there. I mean, you're on a cruise ship with a whole lot of other people. It's really important that everybody look out for each other, and that kind of comes down to what we do when we're out on a sports leisure vacations trip. You know, every once in a while I have to remind somebody, hey, you know, you sneezed a couple, three times this morning. You know, here's a small packet of Kleenex. You might want to, you know, kind of consider covering up. And usually people are very good about that because that's a way to be able to keep the spread. And listen, COVID is out here. If you've traveled a little bit, you'll see there are some people wearing masks. Not all of those people are wearing them because of COVID. They might be wearing a mask because they're trying to protect you from something that they have and where they need to travel. But nonetheless, it is, we kind of have to look out for each other out here. And the CDC is looking out for us by helping us know which cruise ships are, you know, they're kicking you in the rear end. None of these guys want to be on this list, I'm certain. And if they get on it, the next thing where they want to be is on the "we were reinspected and we passed with flying colors" list. So it's a place for consumers to be able to find some information that I think is quite valuable to them.
Yeah, a little more difficult than walking up to a restaurant and seeing whether it's got the green pass sign on the window.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. Great information. Remember, folks, go to travelguysradio.com and you'll find a link to all that Mark just talked about. All right, coming up now, odds and ends segment. We got some cool stuff for you, including an editorial by Rick Steves and a look at how Californians feel about tourism right here in our own state. That's coming up on The Travel Guys. Top of the morning to you. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are The Travel and Entertainment Guys. Remember now, links to special guests and a lot of stuff we talk about can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. And remember, if you're away from home and you want to listen to The Travel Guys, you can always find us on your iHeartRadio app right there on your smart device. Just put in KFBK or put in The Travel Guys, and there we are. All right, Mark, into our final segment, some odds and ends. Where do we start?
Well, just a back reference there. Do you know that we now have more people listening to our podcast every week? Well, not every week, but many weeks. We have more people listening to our podcast than listen to the program live.
Wow.
That's kind of interesting after 17 years that, people have. When we started, there was no such thing as a podcast.
Yeah. So yeah. It just shows how listeners' listening habits, should I say, have dramatically changed over the years.
Well, and if you can listen to something that you enjoy listening to, you know, on your way to the store, on the way home, when you're laying around the house or, you know, doing yard work or whatever it is, why, it's a lot more convenient. So that's probably has led to a lot more listenership. It certainly has for the Travel Guys. Hey, listen, speaking of our listeners, I got a couple of notes last week, Travel Guys questions of people who asked. We talked a lot about Spirit Airlines. And interestingly enough, I'm joining you from Detroit this week. And this is the home of Spirit Airlines, actually. And they have a big hangar here at the Detroit airport, but fly out of here a lot. Basically, what we were saying is that there is a feeling that Spirit Airlines could pull the plug at some point, declare bankruptcy, run out of money. There's some possibility that they might stop flying for a short period of time or permanently. There are a lot of things that point to that, and we went into those last week. However, as was pointed out to me by a couple of listeners, one pointed it out to me, one asked me, if you buy your ticket with a credit card, are you not assured of a refund? And the answer to that question is yes. So you don't want to pay cash for a Spirit Airlines ticket. If you can avoid it, you want to put it on somebody's credit card. So if for some reason that they don't fly and the service that you paid for is not delivered to you, then you can put it into a charge card dispute and get your money back. So that is something that perhaps I didn't make as clear as I could have last week, since some listeners had a question. Also, another reminder, and this is a response to another question that came up last week at TravelGuysRadio.com. You can all remember, you buy an airline ticket. You have 24 hours to cancel it. You don't have to have a reason. You just turn around and call the airline or go back online. And if it's within 24 hours, you just cancel the ticket. You shouldn't have any issues if you do call the airline directly. It is a rule, a law per se, that if you buy an airline ticket, you have a 24-hour window in which to cancel it without penalty. And you don't have to provide a reason or a doctor's note or anything like that. You just cancel the ticket. So keep that in mind when you are out there comparing for airline tickets.
Yeah, I'll just jump in real quick and thank our listeners for paying attention to what we do on the radio. And anytime you catch us with the wrong information or if there's something we left out, we love it when you reach back out at TravelGuysRadio.com and let us know. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Our friend Rick Steves, who was a guest with the Travel Guys a ways back, will be in Sacramento again soon, and I will hope that he will join us again. Rick has a Facebook page, And a link to it is at travelguysradio.com. God, it feels like we've said that 100 times today. But there really are some links to some important things that we've talked about today on our website. And Rick penned a, I'll call it an editorial, on the 10th of October on his website. It's a little bit long, so I'm not going to read it here. It would take probably 10 minutes to read it. But basically, Rick's subject was climate change. And the 2024, in fact, the first line of it is, A Traveler's View of Climate Change and the 2024 Election. And in it, he talks about the fact that, you know, climate change is starting to affect many different aspects of our lives, especially travel. And so as the storm of the century comes, and the next year it's followed by another storm of the century, and 2 weeks later it's followed by another storm of the century, it should be fairly obvious to some people that storms are becoming less predictable, more intense on occasion. Rick talks about how in the Netherlands, the Dutch are spending billions of euros moving mud and sand, because if you know anything about topography in Europe, a good part of the Netherlands is under sea level. So with the use of dikes and canals and stuff like that, they've been able to reclaim a lot of that land and for human use. But as the water comes up, even a few inches, that becomes more and more difficult. So that's an entire country that's at risk. Rick points out that Europe's river cruise industry is becoming a victim of climate change with heat waves and droughts. River levels can vary a lot. They can be quite low. This sometimes forces captains to tie up far from long dreamed of attractions, and their passengers find themselves on a little bit more of a bus tour than a cruise. So newer boats are built to manage in shallower water, but it's a fact that if you go out and back and your swimming pool is 6 feet deep and you drain and you put another foot of water in it, there's a pretty good chance that it's going to overflow. Whether it causes any problems or not in your backyard is problematical, but that's what we're facing on some parts of the planet. So Rick does a lot of business in Europe, and so he talks about how climate change is impacting the various destinations. And he talks about later in his editorial, his missive here, about how this should be something that is of concern to all of us, not just travelers. And while he doesn't take sides in the election or anything like that, he simply points out that this should be an important issue to all of us. The future of our planet is at stake. And especially we talk a lot about, you know, how much we care about the children. Well, they're the people who are going to inherit this. And I thought Rick did a particularly good job. A link to it is posted at travelguysradio.com, or you can go to facebook.com. Just type in Rick Steves, and you will find that it comes up at the very top of his column. It is well worth reading. This is a man who not only is known for being an advocate for travel on PBS, but Rick is also – he's in the travel business. He sells travel to people. And so this impacts him in many ways, and he's just trying to point that out and share with us what he's trying to do is through public perception, is make this a more topical issue. It will be a more topical issue in the future, I assure you. But Mr. Steves is trying to and give it a little more prominence now, and I agree with his effort.
If you're just tuning in, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark, we told folks we were going to tell them a little bit about how Californians are feeling about tourism in our state. We got time for that?
We got about 30 seconds here. I will do that. Visit California. Surveys in 2022 and 2023 show that over 60% of California's residents have a highly positive perception of the state's travel and tourism industry. They understand its importance to the economy, and they don't have any serious issues with it. There are a few issues, and we can maybe take a little time and talk about that on next week's edition of The Travel Guys. In the meantime, I hope you'll check us out at travelguysradio.com, and remember to dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. See you next week.